Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today for Goals Question Time, I've got the pleasure of being joined by James Baker, who is the CEO of the Graphene at Manchester at the University of Manchester. And James, we've known each other for quite a number of years on that now, going back to your previous roles. Delighted for you to join us.
Thank you.
Good. So can you kick off by giving us a brief introduction to yourself, please?
Sure. Thanks, Andrew. So I'm James Baker, and I'm the Chief Exec of Graphene at Manchester, which is basically the commercial business-facing organisation we've created here at the University of Manchester to take the discovery of graphene, first discovered in 2004, two scientists driven by curiosity, took some sticky tape and some graphite, peeled that over many times, and isolated a single atomic layer of carbon called graphene. So what is graphene? It's a single atomic layer of carbon. It's got fantastic properties as a two-dimensional material, and you hear things like 200 times stronger than steel, very conductive, both thermally and electrical, it's strong, it's flexible, it's transparent. So as a result of that, the Nobel Prize for Physics in 2010 was awarded. But more importantly, people are now looking at how they take these properties of graphene into the various products and applications. And my role, quite simply, is looking at the various business models, how we take that work in academia, in partnership and collaboration with industry, into the various products and applications at a more accelerated rate than traditionally it's taken a new material to enter the market. My background, though, is in industry, over 25 years working in aerospace and defense. I met Andrew when I was running the technology business in BA Systems, and we were looking at open innovation, new business models, and how we translated some of that science into new features and products and applications. So quite excited by the challenge, but lots of challenges to get this new material into everyday use that you'll be familiar with and start to use on a daily basis.
Great, great. So thanks for that introduction and giving us the purpose of what the Graphene Centre is doing as well as applying these technologies. So you've previously worked in large corporates, as you said, in the innovation areas. Can you give us a contrast in the ways you're now working in taking this tech and graphene out of a university environment and you know the respective objectives and the differences in the processes you're now using compared to what we did before or what typically happens in corporates?
So we're part of the University of Manchester. So one of the challenges of a university is the motivation of the various staff, the academics, and it's still very much around motivation towards teaching and towards research, where the output of that research is a paper or a publication. One of the challenges of that is commercial activity, you know, so-called higher technology readiness level, higher TRL, doesn't necessarily write better quality papers, but fundamental discovery and new discovery and working in the lower technology readiness level tend to be what drives papers, publications, and motivation of academics. So being a university, we have to remain core to that. University of Manchester is Russell Group, so academic freedom is one of our key principles. So for me, the new role is how do we, as well as do that fundamental research, that fundamental papers, publications, and teaching, through a partnership and collaboration model with industry, accelerate this adoption of graphene and two-dimensional materials. So very much what's different is we're looking at doing it in a more open innovation approach where we look for collaboration with industrial partners. We have two institutes that have been set up to support that, the National Graphene Institute and the Graphene Engineering Innovation Centre. The National Graphene Institute's been open around 3 years now, funded by UK government and Europe, £61 million investment. But its role is very much to bring together the academics in a multidisciplinary approach, put in that partnership model, collaboration with industry to accelerate different ways of making graphene or applying graphene into a composite or a plastic or into electronic application. the GEIC, which is opening later this year, Graphene Engineering Innovation Centre, is what I would call a make or break centre. So once I've made something once, I want to make it repeatably. And if it's going to fail, I want it to fail quick so I can learn and iterate and move very quickly. So for me, what's different to traditional ways is a new material in a traditional way has probably taken 25 to 30 years from discovery through to commercialization. What we're looking to achieve in Manchester and Graphene at Manchester is to reduce that by a half or even more significantly. So Graphene today is 13 years young, but already you're starting to see those first products hitting the marketplace. And the next weeks, we'll be launching a graphene training shoe that has a graphene-enhanced rubber sole. And that means that sole has the equivalent grip of a normal rubber sole, but it has a 50% improvement in the life or the wear or the durability of that sole. So already, within 13 years, through this model, we're seeing graphene products and applications hitting the marketplace much more rapidly than traditionally has taken place for a new material to hit the market.
Great. And a good example on that there. Thanks, James. So partnerships are going to be so important to you. Could you describe the approach and that then that you're going to be doing with the corporates?
So certainly it's still evolving. One of the challenges we often get when we talk about partnerships, so do we work with large companies, small companies, startups, spin-outs? And with Graphene, it certainly is all of that. For me, I like to use the term we're looking to develop the ecosystem. So by the ecosystem, we are looking for large corporations. So again, we're currently working with a number of large organizations from aerospace to oil and gas to paints and chemical industry. And you know, with those companies, we do everything from sponsoring students, so a PhD, through to a traditional industrial project, research project in a university. But now with the NGI and particularly with the GEIC, we can now do a much more flexible contracting, which can include companies co-locating their staff in the university. It can include them actually putting their equipment co-located alongside the academic team. And it's very much this partnership and collaboration. We bring the science, the know-how, the fundamental science. We also bring the equipment, the facility. The industry brings the commercial, the engineering, the manufacturing. And by working in that concurrent way, we can accelerate the adoption of graphene and 2D materials. But we're also working with small businesses. So small businesses who may have an existing product and they see a way of enhancing that product through the addition of graphene to that product, as well as spin-outs from the university. And we're also starting to see the first startups, if you like, that come up with a new market need. A good example again is we're developing a novel new graphene fuel cell, where graphene is the thinnest possible material that's got potential for a proton exchange membrane, which could improve performance of fuel cell technology. And again, we've created a startup to accelerate that into the marketplace. So it's the ecosystem of large, small type organizations. But most importantly, it's very much around the collaboration and partnership model that is key to our approach.
Right. Okay. And a good example there on the battery sort of side of things. James, aim of our and my organization and with the Graphene Center, we ran a program at the center in that last year around what I termed innovative new value chains, how we connect new tech, startups and corporates in new business models, whether that's around new materials like graphene and digital health services and battery tech and going through to transport. Where do you think research like yours and startups with the large corporates can collaborate to make significant improvements and accelerate these beneficial uses of the technology applications? You've given some examples, but in terms of meeting these unmet needs and these and connecting these things, are you finding these solutions and applications now?
I think this is a really key area that graphene can be accused previously very much of the technology hype under the Gartner hype cycle. It's also been accused of being very much a technology push. Arguably, it's quite what I would call a disruptive technology. And the challenge with all of that, it can often be very difficult to get graphene onto the roadmap of a large corporate or an organization, either because it disrupts what they do, or it's seen as high risk, or it's seen as long term. So it's not always been that easy to get organizations to invest in a disruptive technology that graphene might be. You know, a good example just touched on is battery technology. You know, a lot of investments on existing materials or existing new materials, and adding graphene into the mix can be seen as quite difficult and risky and difficult to do. So the whole value chain, innovative way of looking at that, the business models, I think, is a key area of how we might need to look differently. A good example of that is my background from earlier is from the aerospace industry. To get graphene into the wing of your aircraft in a very highly safety regulated and certification type model is very difficult. It was difficult to engage with the large corporates in that area in the supply chain. So what we did, for example, to try and change that was to take some graphene, mix it with some resin, put it into a composite wing, and we actually made a graphene-enhanced wing for a small unmanned vehicle, a drone, and we flew that at the Farnborough Air Show in 2016. But more significantly, what we did, it enabled us to start to bring together the supply chain from the aerospace sector, so the large corporation, the SMEs, the material suppliers, and then we wrote a strategy with the Aerospace Technology Institute, and now we actually have a strategy for graphene in aerospace, and we're looking to see how we take that forward, not just into the wing of the aircraft, but into, for example, into the cabin, into the cockpit, into the wheels, into the structural elements, and developing that roadmap, if you like, of how graphene can help the aircraft industry. But what's the drive? It's not graphene. The drive is reduction in emissions, reduction in fuel, longer range, lower manufacturing cost. And we're now seeing how, using that as a drive, we can actually get graphene as a disruptor into that market. So I think what's quite key working with Andrew and other corporates is how we really understand those unmet needs, those challenges. And whilst I've talked a lot about graphene in this interview, graphene is just the start of a whole family of other two-dimensional materials. But effectively, we're getting into a world where in the future, we've almost got a suite of what I would call designer materials that you can design layer by layer, bottom up, to build functionality into your product or your application. So the way we work with industry, the way we do workshops, grand challenges, unmet needs, I think is going to be a key part of our business model going forward, and something that I'm quite excited by, particularly with our second building, The Geek, which opens later this year and will facilitate a number of these type of activities.
Great, great. Yeah, I like your perspective there about the design and materials for particular solutions. And are you finding good cases now, startups and corporates, global corporates, really engaging well with the Graphene Center? You've got some examples there.
So it's starting now to accelerate. We've always had a culture of some startups, but almost the startups for the last few years have been too early,
right.
By definition. But you know, they have started, you know, they have some idea, but when they've tried to engage with corporates, the corporates have showed interest, but in my language, it's like, come back in a few years when you've produced something and I'll take more interest. I think we're now into a stage, like with the fuel cell, like with the training shoe, where we're beyond that potential, and we're beyond a PowerPoint presentation. We can now show a prototype or a product that has, you know, using my training shoe example, a 50% improvement. That's the sort of value that starts to get the interest of a corporate. And we are now starting to see an increase in large companies and corporates and investments, because they're at a stage now where the business value is better being able to be articulated than what has previously been pure potential. So still not where it needs to be. We still need to do more. I like to use the term of the tipping point. Yeah, for me, we're not at the tipping point, but I expect over the next 12, 18 months, we'll start to see an increase in the products like the training shoe, like the fuel cell, like the wing of the aircraft, And you'll start to then see an acceleration of that corporate venturing and large corporates taking an increase in graphene.
Yeah, and certainly from my experience of being there in Manchester and that with you, I could see examples of things which are much closer to being applied as you're giving in these examples. So I think we're going to start seeing a series of tipping points, as you said, over the next number of years.
One thing I probably should have said, whilst I've talked generally around the UK, Europe, if I look at China, they're probably ahead of us in terms of that investment, huge investment taking place in China. A lot of the technology, still in UK and Europe, but in terms of the venturing and the ability to build almost graphene parks, significant interest from China as an example into the graphene as a material and what that might give for their supply chain.
Yeah. Thanks for that, James. Because in these interviews that I've done with many other people, I'm the one who's normally waving the flag about what's happening in that within China. Because certainly, I've been involved there over many years now, and I'm seeing that accelerating as well for the opportunities for different materials and the opportunities for the expertise we've got here to collaborate in that with them. So the next sort of question is around people are so central to the business and innovation and venturing. What are your reflections on the different skills and approaches you think people need in organizations to be successful? And you touched on it within your introduction in terms of coming from a research perspective, but what's your perspective for the graphene center and developing these applications now?
So people are absolutely critical, and one of the great things of being part of the University of Manchester is, I continuously come across fantastic students, fantastic academics, science, technology across the university, not just in materials, but in artificial intelligence, biomedical, etc. But what we need is the combination of, that science, that know-how, that fundamental know-how, but we also need engineering, we need manufacturing, we need that entrepreneurial commercial. So a key part of our business model is using this term again, the ecosystem. Yes, we are trying to do startups and make some of these scientists into entrepreneurs. And in the university, we have a number of schemes. We have a scheme called the Eli Harari of SanDisk fame, who sponsors an award every year, which is for a graphene idea to be funded as a small startup. And £50,000 goes to the winner of that competition every year to set up a startup and a business. But increasingly, we also need the engineers, the manufacturers, the entrepreneurs, the lawyers, the IP specialists, the organizations who can facilitate bringing all that together. So again, a key part of our model through Graphene at Manchester is we have something called a partnership scheme. So we're looking for partners from large corporations, small corporations, but we're also looking for partners from banking, from investment, I actually recently signed a futurologist as one of our partners who's great at telling stories, but quite important if we're going to get investment up here into Manchester in the north, be able to tell a story not just a scientist can understand, but also an investor or an entrepreneur or a bank. So for me, we've got to find a way of building that ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I actually build this on a model that I learned through a trip I went with Andrew out to California, where I remember going to a conference we literally, you could almost build a business in the morning. We had the entrepreneur talking to the IP lawyer, to the investor, to the engineer, and almost by lunchtime, they come up with a business plan about how we're going to take a business forward. So for me, it's a fantastic model to have Silicon Valley, if you like. Mm. So we've pinched a little bit of that. We call it Graphene City. We're not software driven. We are materials, but if we can accelerate the technology side of developing materials, new materials, together with building the ecosystem of companies and people, then for me, we've got an opportunity to do something, I wouldn't say similar, but on the same sort of scale that they've achieved in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, no, that's a good point that there, James, because one of the visits we did then was to Tesla, wasn't it? And they were saying that weekend their first car came off the production line and was being shipped to a customer. So it shows the timing and what we were looking at back then, those years ago, and where we are now in terms of the development of these things in Silicon Valley globally and as well. So thanks so much for that. And I look forward to working with you, in, as you said, around these partners and helping with the people to develop these opportunities. And thanks so much for your insights that you've gone through, giving examples, everything from training shoes to aerospace to the future of design and materials. So last question, James, in terms of what are you doing when you're not doing all this tech, and what are you doing to relax?
Well, that's a very good question. Unfortunately, I tend to be a taxi driver for my family and daughter in particular, who loves her dance. And I have the pleasure in a few weeks' time of going out to Barcelona, where I'm a dance dad, in that she's representing Wales in the Dance World Cup. So it entails taking her to lots of dance events, taking her to Spain, which is the better side of that. But it also included, at the weekend, I was on an exercise bike at a shopping centre, trying to help raise funds by cycling or part cycling to Barcelona.
Right.
I think it revolves around the kids, but it's difficult to escape from graphene. And hopefully with the training shoes coming out in a few weeks, I'll be able to get a little bit further on my new graphene enhanced training shoes to make it a little bit easier.
Excellent, James. Yeah, and I can. I'm also a taxi driver to my daughter, who's into gymnastics, and she was in a competition at the last weekend as well. So only in Milton Keynes, though, not as glorious as Barcelona. So, James, thank you very much. Fantastic insights to this new material and the leading work that you're doing in Manchester and the Graphene Centre. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.